Hi, I'm Naomi. I'm 36. I was on the fence about pregnancy and all I heard was, but you'd be such a good mum and yours and Dan's genes are too good not to procreate. Now I'm pregnant though, it's your life will never be the same, you know. Yeah, I do know. Thanks. But despite deciding to baby, there's still so much more to find out from both camps. So here's a podcast on the Secret Recordings Network where I chat to baby wanters, baby rejectors, and everything in between to see why we decide to baby or not to baby. In the final episode of this series, I chat to Dan, my husband and baby daddy.
Overwhelmed, I think, probably is the, which anyone who's found out they're having a baby will probably recognise that feeling of, I think I was speechless and probably cried for about 2 minutes before I said anything. But it was, yeah, a combination of already, oh shit, excitement and happiness and fear all at once.
And I'm joined on this journey by my sister and best friend, Camilla.
Okay, are you ready? Three,
I don't know if I'm
three
ready.
Requests. Three hello requests. Bonjour. Ahoy. Kia ora. I tried to do that with an accent and it really didn't work.
These are international greetings requests. Please, can you explain who, where, what, why?
The first request was from Melanie Dawn on Insta. She said, I'm a Canadian gal and my job requires me to be bilingual. My second language is French and bonjour is always how I start my day at work. So can we please have Camilla's greeting en français? My wishes
are commanded. Aggie Garen got in touch on Facebook to say greetings from Slovakia. Can Camilla please give us a big ahoy on the next episode? So you might have thought that was for the sailors, but actually, no, it was for Slovakia. Hello, Slovakia.
And then finally, we've got Seashells on Instagram. Can Camilla please try a New Zealand greeting for your Australasia listeners? We typically say kia ora.
Which I thought, do you know what? When I saw that one, I thought Camilla's going to love that one in particular because there are a Maori family on Home and Away at the minute. And I thought she's going to dig the fact there's a Maori greeting.
The Piratas. And if you've not watched it, just quickly go on and watch the clip of them on the beach performing a haka. You're welcome. You are welcome, ladies.
So, Melanie Dawn, Aggie Garen, Seashella, thank you very much for getting in touch. I hope that you have enjoyed your international greetings. Now, from international greetings to perineal massage.
Oh, wow. I mean,
sorry, I've really just killed your vibe there, haven't I?
Yeah, a little bit.
But I feel like this is the thing that I've read a lot about. And I had heard a lot about, and I'm now at the stage in my pregnancy where you have to start you don't have to, but you are encouraged to start doing I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Perineal. I think it's perineal because I think that's what they say. Like, I'm really sorry if you tear, perineal tear. I'm pretty sure that's how it's pronounced.
Okay. Perineal massage.
How's that going for you?
It's very uncomfortable.
Oh, is it?
Yes, because effectively, so how much information do you actually want me to...
Oh,
to...
come on, we're all friends here, let it all out.
Okay, so what you have to do is you have to sit on the floor with your knees up and you have to insert both thumbs into your area. You lube it up with a bit of either olive oil or sweet almond oil is my oil of choice. And you effectively have to push down towards your rear and stretch the skin open to try and prepare and stretch and loosen up the skin for when a baby's head is going to come out of there.
Holy shit, I didn't realise there was any insertion involved.
Yes!
I thought it was purely like, you know, just massage the area in the hope that it stretches a little bit.
No, massage the area sounds like we're having a fun time down there. This is a double insertion of both thumbs.
I'm just not going to try and have a vision of this.
And also, I'm sorry. I know this is a lot of information, so I am sorry. But like, the other thing is, when you're so far along pregnant, it's quite awkward to get into a position where you're doing that. Yeah. And in my book, it says, you could get your partner to do this for you. Now, the level of discomfort I feel whilst doing this, because you're supposed to feel that it is stretching and tingling and maybe a bit of a burning sensation. I don't want Dan to do that.
No. You want to be annoyed with yourself, not him, for that.
Yes, exactly. So I feel like this is possibly too much information, but spoiler alert, there is going to be more talk of my downstairs area in the chat with Dan. So shall we commence?
Let's do it. Okay, I'm going to start this how I've started most of the interviews this series. Please tell me who you are and explain your parental or non-parental situation.
Okay, so I'm Dan. In case you'd forgotten, I'm your husband. And I'm also the father of your child-to-be, our child-to-be.
I just want to point out, we had a bit of a Barney before we recorded this, and also you've just ate half a bag of cheese balls, which is... I feel like not conducive to us having a really positive interview experience.
Well, my breath might be bad, but I can't apologise for anything else.
Okay, so we're in the exact same position as we recorded the final episode of season one, which is on our bed, but the circumstance and the situation is slightly different. So do you want to explain that?
Slightly different. I mean, yeah, we are sat on exactly the same bed, but I think everything else in our life has completely changed. So we're in a different city. We're in the house in Bristol. We are now very much only a few weeks away from the due date of our baby. And by the way, COVID's happened in that time as well. So
just a few changes.
It's been quite a busy few months, shall we say.
And obviously last time we sat on this bed and did an interview for the podcast, it was shall we have a baby? Shall we not have a baby? And at which point I hit stop record and then told you, surprise, we're having a baby.
Yeah, which was, definitely a surprise. it was, I don't even know what to say. Yeah, the last time we sat here, I didn't obviously know anything about it. And I'm sat next to you now with a pretty large bump.
Steady on.
Yeah.
Is that you're talking about? Oh. All that lockdown eating, mate.
I mean, I'm not looking too bad at the minute, am I?
You put on half a stone, didn't you?
Yeah, it's only half, though.
It's better than the time you put on a stone at the start of lockdown when we were living with my parents and mum was feeding you cake all the time. And you definitely looked more pregnant than me.
No, there was quite a long phase, in fact, up until only about 3 weeks ago, that I was definitely bigger bellied than you. Fortunately, you have overtaken me now.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're sat here and having this conversation now when you consider that where we were when we had the last conversation and what's happened since. I mean,
neither can I, because, and I know I've said this before and I feel like it sounds really bad, but at the time that we found out we were pregnant, well, I found out and then I had to keep it secret from you to the podcast interview and then told you we were pregnant, there was still part of me that thought that it might not pan out. And then now we're like 8 months pregnant.
Yep. It's definitely panned out and it's definitely happening.
How did you feel though when I told you we're having a baby?
Overwhelmed, I think, probably is the... which anyone who's found out they're having a baby will probably recognise that feeling of... I think I was speechless and probably cried for about 2 minutes before I said anything. But it was, a combination of already, oh shit... excitement and happiness and fear all at once. I think that's like it's what I've always thought I wanted, and it's what you spent the last however many episodes talking about. But then when it actually happens, I don't think you can ever prepare yourself for that feeling, and then you spend the next 9 months trying to prepare yourself for its arrival, and then I don't think you ever get there either, do you? But
nope. What has your experience of this pregnancy been like? Like, I'm aware that I'm the pregnant one, but how has it been for you?
You hear so much about people going through pregnancy and everyone's experience is different. But I think it's in the first instance, I'll talk about just the pregnancy, because what's been going on around the pregnancy has just added a whole multiple more layers to it. But I think the way that kind of you and your body reacted in those first few weeks and months surprised me. I mean, you hear of people getting the bad morning sickness and the nausea and everything, but just the way it kind of hit you like a bit of a train, and you just didn't want to move, didn't want to do anything, didn't have an appetite. And I think ultimately you weren't your normal self. You weren't you for a while. And that
I feel like that's understating.
Yeah. Yeah. To say, yeah, maybe I'm playing it down a bit, but no. So I think.
No, you're not playing it down. I think you were erring on the side of caution in case, what's she going to say when I say this?
You wait to hear what I'm about to say next. I think it surprised me how much it's kind of knocked you back, like whether or not it's your tiredness, your lack of want to do, you know, just get up and do stuff, or just kind of the general in the last few weeks and months, your back, your stomach, everything has just been whacked. And I think I should have expected it, but having never actually gone through it, it's always a bit of a surprise. And then I guess on top of that, we've obviously sold the house, moved house twice, out of the old one and then into this one, had a stint living with your parents, and also moved to a new city in lockdown. So I think that's put a lot of pressure on both of us, and working from home together all the time. And I think, so anyone that goes through all of that and doesn't have kind of moments of wanting to strangle each other, I'd question question their reality. No, you've actually been okay, but I mean, there have been times, of course, when it's like you're down in the dumps, and it's hard to pick you up sometimes, but been okay.
To be fair, I think from my point of view, I didn't realise the first trimester would be as hard as it was. I was in a thing of like, oh, well, I won't get morning sickness. I don't do sick. I'm not a sicky person. And the last few weeks has, like, I think that has been shit. And there's definitely part of me that is a bit, definitely in the first trimester, 100% I was quite resentful towards you. And even now I still feel it, because I just feel like your life doesn't change. With me being pregnant, it changes in that I'm a mardy ass when I'm on days that I'm suffering, where my back's bad, or in the first trimester where I felt really sick, or I felt really tired, or I had proper FOMO because I couldn't have a glass of wine and do the things that we would normally do and the things that I would want to do, and you just get to go about your life the same. And then that kind of went for the second trimester, but now we're back in the, I've got really bad backache. I don't know if it's hormones or just the baby squishing my entire set of internal organs, but me getting my IBS back again and feeling like really shit because of that, and hormones generally. So some days it just feels like you've got constant PMT for no apparent reason. I get that you're on the receiving end of that, but oh my God, when your body and your emotions and your mind are going through all that stuff, like, it is shit. And I hate you a bit because you just get to be normal.
Oh, thanks. No, I know it's difficult for you, and I know you do to some extent. And I guess there are days when I'm a dream to live with, and I help you and I do all the things that make you feel better, and it's great. And
when are they? When are they coming? When's that going to happen?
Fuck off. And there are days when I'm probably, well, I know that, you know, I don't handle you being in those kind of modes and moods well, and that's not good. But I have been since day one, and still am now, in awe of any woman who goes through, that chooses to go through, you know, pregnancy and can go through pregnancy and deal with all of those changes and all of those impacts that it has on your life, and basically grow a small human inside of you. Like, it's I say to you often, it's like, I'm proud of you for going through it, even if there are times when it's difficult for both. It's difficult for you a lot of the time, and it has an impact on me in terms of being with you and living with you, but I would never mind or resent you for resenting me in those times, because I mean, I have it easy. I put your shoes on every now and then, and you know, make sure you're fed and watered, and that's it.
Someone's stolen my baby name. So obviously we don't know if we're having a boy or girl. We've got a girl's name, Dead Cert. We've got a boy's name, 99%. Boy's name, a bit more traditional. Someone else might have it, fine. Girl's name, in my head, nobody in the world ever is having this name until I go on Facebook, on the Positive Birth Community Facebook group, and somebody has stolen my name. And I know she's a complete stranger, and it's really irrational to feel like the name's been stolen because she didn't know, and it's a name that exists in the world, and so other people might call it it. But I'm still mad. How are you feeling about birth?
I think a combination of terrified and scared.
A combination of terror and terror.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't honestly know what to expect. I mean, I know what to expect. I know what's going to happen, but I don't really know how. I can't pretend that I've ever been in that situation before.
Good, I should hope not. That would be a real bombshell.
And I don't think you can ever prepare yourself for being, you know, being in a hospital for other reasons is one thing, but being in a hospital or wherever we are, watching your wife go through an ordeal and, you know, all of the things that go with it, but then knowing that at the end of it we're going to have a baby, is like, yeah, it's, I guess I'm just don't really know how I'm going to react myself in that situation. I want to be able to be there for you throughout it, but I'm a little bit scared that there's going to be a load of like stuff that's going to make me probably faint or some shit like that. I said to you before, I'm not a big fan of needles or anything like that, and so I'm praying that I don't lose my cool.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that I won't have an epidural, and I'm hoping that there won't be any needles either, mainly for your sake. How do you think you'll feel though, like watching me go through it, and like how are you mentally or physically even preparing for it?
One thing I will say is both through antenatal and through just you reading books and talking about it, and me reading books, and I'm obviously reading another one around hypnobirthing at the minute. I feel like
under instruction,
under duress. I feel like I'm getting towards being as, you know, prepared as you can be going into that situation, which is I'm not going in blind. I know pretty much what to expect in all the various scenarios that's going to happen, and I understand that my job is basically to make your life as easy as possible, and as make you, which should be in life in
that
general,
should be every day,
but particularly during that period. And so, no, I'm looking forward to the outcome of it, but I just don't know. You know, I'm praying that it's a swift in and out job.
Swift exit.
Yeah, swift exit.
Me too.
All goes to plan, and I guess there's a little. I'd be lying if I said there's not a small element of that fear is related to, you know, hoping that everything's going to be okay on the day, you know, for you and for the baby. And because it's all, we've got through pregnancy so far, but you're never out of the woods, are you? And so I think there's definitely, you know, just an excited fear of like hoping it's all going to be okay, and just wanting to basically get out the other side, get a baby into that car seat and come back home.
Yeah, get baby here safely is, I feel like it, that must be a fear for everyone.
Yeah.
Are you gonna go business end? You flying business class?
I don't have to think about that one. I don't think so. I don't see any reason why I need to like there are people that get paid to do that shit, to like go down, you know, to
what. Yeah, okay, but no, here's what I'm interested in, because and the reason that I've asked you this question is because I know what the answer is, because for a lot of people they want to see the moment that their baby enters the world, and you're very much like, I do not want to see that,
because I have the choice of either seeing, and maybe I'll change my mind on the day, because I'm nothing if I'm not extremely inquisitive and nosy, so maybe when it comes to it I'll be like, I won't be able to not have a look at what's going on. But I'm also going to see the baby a matter of seconds after they come into the world, but I'm not intrigued to see the kind of process of it happening.
Why?
Because I think it's just going to be a bit gory and a bit weird to see, and then I just think it might make me feel a bit weird. The last thing I want to do is miss the baby coming into the world because I'm on my back on the floor. Like,
no, but is it that, or is there a part of you that is like, and I'm aware that our parents listen to this podcast, so I'm trying to think how to word this appropriately, but is there a part of you that's like, downtown is for a fun time rather than for like what the horrific scenes that you might witness?
There's no great way of like tarting up that point or question, is there? I know what you're trying to do. No, I don't. Do you know what? I don't think I've ever thought. I know what you're saying, but I don't think I've ever thought about it like that. Like, I recognise downtown, as you put it, is which I've never heard you refer to it before. Which, if people listen to this, may think that that's some kind of like common phrase that we use in this house. I can guarantee it is not. And if it ever gets said again, I'll be mortified. But yeah, I'm under no illusion that it's only for one thing. I fully recognise that it's also the passage through which our baby will travel.
Okay, just so we can clear that up.
Yeah.
Camilla, did Ed go business end / or brackets downtown?
Well, the thing is, he never really needed to or had the option because I was in the water. So, like, you know, downtown was swimming. So he couldn't really see anyway, even if he wanted to. I guess he could have looked if they put, like, the mirror in and stuff, but they didn't do that much.
Were you on all fours?
Oh, God, I was in all sorts of positions. And, you know, because I'm so gangly, that the bath was actually a little bit small for me, really. So I kept kind of getting cramp in my legs when I'd move in different positions, which was fun. But, yeah, I was mostly just on my knees with my arms hanging over the bath.
I was reading a book the other day that was about making a list of what to pack in your hospital bag, because I've had to pack my hospital bag now. And one of the things that it said was you might want to take a mirror with you so that you can look yourself at when baby's head was coming out.
I was so in a zone. I think I had my eyes closed for probably 90% of my labour.
Well, I have to say, I'm kind of with Dan on this one. I don't know if I want to see that happening down there.
I mean, it's amazing and stuff, but I think by the time they told me, like, the head was there, I was just like, great stuff, let's get this baby out.
What are your fears for when baby arrives?
Oh, there's loads, really. I mean, from when baby arrives, my fears from when baby arrives are probably the same as every new parent ever has, but you can watch all the videos and read all the things and talk to all the people you want to about how to care for a baby and what happens in those first 24, 48, 72 hours, weeks, days, weeks, months, you know, but and instinct and a bit of intelligence will kick in. But it's just that kind of moment of you get through, you walk through your front door, close the door behind you, and then it's like, okay, it's me, you, and this little human, and we've basically, you know, it needs you, really, but and you need me, so it needs us both. And I guess I'm a bit of an overthinker, a lot of an overthinker and a bit of a worrier, so I think it'd be quite easy to be like, oh my God, are they okay, checking on them every like 3 minutes throughout the night. And so, and I know that that's not necessary, so I guess it's just wondering how we're going to react.
I think that's weird, because I don't feel like, I think because I am feeling a lot of fear around what happens when the baby gets here, I don't feel like you're having that.
No, but it doesn't mean I'm not. I think no. I'm very conscious at the minute that you are anxious and worried and carrying all of these kind of things with you. If I started then letting on that I was also feeling the same, and that ain't going to make you feel any better. Maybe it would. Maybe it would make you feel like we're in it together. But I think I certainly in the last few days and weeks, I've been trying to be the kind of a bit more level-headed, a bit more stability, a bit more kind of, we've got this for you.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that I don't necessarily believe what I'm saying all the time. But
I think it would make me feel better if you just said you were shitting yourself.
Okay,
as well.
Babe, I'm shitting myself. What the fuck are we gonna do? Help. If anyone's out there, help. No.
What do you think I will be like as a mum?
Genuinely,
That's a really long pause. It made me really nervous.
Did it actually?
Yes. Oh, my God. What's he going to say?
You're going to be terrible. You'll be terrible. No, genuinely, and anyone listening to this that knows you knows that you are, and the reason that we're together and that I married you is you are literally the most selfless, loving, caring person that anyone could ever wish to meet. And
oh, my God, you're going to make me cry.
And so as a parent, like, that's Oh God, I'll make myself cry now. No, but you genuinely are, and I think you'll be an amazing mum. And if you treat that your child like you treat every other person in your life that you love, then they'll be absolutely fine. And there's not a single part of me that worries about how you'll be as a mum. I worry, obviously, at the moment you're struggling with a lot of the kind of anxieties and things like that, and I worry a little bit about yourself and how you will deal with some of those tougher times, and obviously want you to trust yourself and know that it'll be okay, because I think a lot of the time most of your things are self-doubt and self-uncertainty about, you know, you ask the question because, you know, and I'm sure you've thought about it, but I don't have any doubt in you. And I think you just need to remember that yourself. And there will be days, weeks, months even where we're both having a shit time of it. That doesn't mean you're going to be a bad parent. It just means you're going to have to, it might put some strain on us, but I think, you know, the important thing is trying to...
It means we're human.
Yeah, exactly. And the important thing is to try and maintain some stability for them throughout that.
That's one of the nicest things I think you've ever said to me. I can't believe that. I feel like all those times when I'm anxious and you're like, I never know what the right thing is to say. I'm like, that.
Yeah, but if I told you that every day, I think you'd be sick of hearing it. Gotta save it.
Never be sick of hearing it. This is going to be my therapy. Listening back to this episode of the podcast will be my, like, on those days where I'm like, oh, what if I'm not being a good enough parent? And then you'll be like, no, you're actually not.
I've been saving that saying that for the last 4 years since we met, you know, just for this moment, for this podcast. So yeah, enjoy it.
No, but that's so, that the reason it makes me emotional when you say it is because it is exactly all of what you've just said, because the self-doubt makes me forget that I don't worry about the parenting in the sense that I will love that baby and I will do anything for it, and I know that I will because of how I am with you, how I am with my family, my friends, with my dog. Like, yeah. I am like, you can say what you want about me, you can come at me, but if you come at somebody who I love, I'll have them. Yeah. Like, I'll protect them so fiercely. And so I know that there's no doubt this baby will not be loved and protected. I 100% think that I will pour every ounce of everything I have into making that baby feel happy and safe and loved and cared for. But it's nice to hear you say that. And I do worry about that I won't look after me, but I'm going to watch some more Queer Eye where Karamo says that you need to prioritise yourself in life.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
You have to hire Karamo from Queer Eye as a life coach for me. Surprise. If it goes.
Here he is, coming in now.
I think we're both quite fiercely protective of family.
Oh my God,
and
yeah.
Friends.
Defo. I'd say generally, you're probably worse than me, but in the sense that you're just a bit more of a vocal person than I am. I'd say I'm more of a lover, you're more of a fighter. But occasionally, if I really get riled up, oh, I'm coming at you.
Yeah, there was that one time when let's face it, we've had a few horrible exes. We talked about them the other week, didn't we? But yeah. One in particular who had lived with us. So it wasn't even like you were just hearing my side of the story. You'd fully witnessed him being an absolute prick.
Oh my, calling him a prick is a compliment for the level. I fucking hate him. Like, it makes me so mad even thinking about it now.
No. I think you probably hate him more than I do.
I think I do. No, but this is the thing. This is what I mean. Yeah. Like, why does that protective thing? It's like, you know, I feel like the heckles come up on my back where I'm like, it makes me so angry because he was so horrible to you. And yeah, I did witness it with my own eyes. And I'm the kind of person where I'll bite my tongue and bite my tongue and bite my tongue and think, no, you know, it's their relationship. I'm not going to get involved. But when you're living in my house and then when the shit really hit the fan, oh my God, did he know what I thought of him?
He copped it. He copped it big time.
He copped it, and he bloody deserved it as well, the little shit.
If you're listening, you bloody deserved it. You arsehole.
What do you think you'll be like as a dad?
I hope I'll be all the things that I said you'll be as a mum. You know, loving, caring, kind.
you'll be so practical as well, though.
I think I'll be, yeah, I'm definitely the super practical one out of both of us. I feel like all my mates will tell you, like, they imagine me with like a utility belt with like all of the kind of gear on and like 15 bags packed with everything for every single eventuality. So I feel like I'll be one of those, you know, dads that's got everything for every occasion, probably too prepared and too overplanned, because you just, you know, when you've got a young kid, I think it's just a bit mad, isn't it? I may struggle at times with the need to be a bit more flexible than maybe I am at the moment. And I think I'll be, we talked about this the other day about whether you think I'll be a bit of a walkover as a parent, and I was like, oh no, I think I'll be quite stern, but you were like, no.
Honestly, I really think that you'll be an amazing dad, and I think that you will be so loving and kind and will do anything for this baby, but I also think you will be totally under the thumb.
What, like I am with you?
I bloody wish you were, mate.
Yeah, no, maybe you're right. It's hard to say. What scares you the most about the next?
What scares me the most is that I won't be able to cope and I'll fuck it up. And that I'll like really struggle with my anxiety and I won't be able to parent properly because I'll find it so mentally challenging, and that then the kid will be screwed in later life. That's my biggest fear.
It's good that you're not in it alone then, isn't it?
And yes. you got to do two things there. You've got to, one, give the baby all the love and care and make sure that it's okay. If I can't, make sure that it's okay. And you've then got to do that for me as well.
Make sure you're okay as well. And then I've got to make sure that I'm okay after both of that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'm going to be a mess.
Yeah. I think we'll
that's
okay.
All right. We've got families to make sure we're okay.
I think we will be okay.
I know we will be. I feel like any newly expecting parents have probably had this conversation where they're like, are we going to be okay? Oh, we're going to be okay. No, but are we? Yeah. People tell you that you are, but you have to kind of tell yourself, you have to almost force yourself to believe it.
Well, the other thing as well is you kind of just have to be okay, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, there's not another option.
No. So we will be okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got another question. Can we go to Barbados in February?
I mean, you have asked that question at least 50 times in the last since we found out we were pregnant. The answer's the same. Maybe. Let's just wait and see till wait till babies arrive, see if they're happy and healthy. Let's make sure that COVID isn't biking again and we actually can travel, and then when we get a bit closer to the time, why not? I mean, you know, I'd love to go, and you know, I'd love to take baby there. We talked on the last episode we did, was one of the things we're excited about is going and showing the kind of baby the sights and the sounds of the world, that bits that we've seen already and love and want to take them back to, and bits we haven't done. And so, you know, I'd be up for it. I'm a bit unsure about doing it so early, but you keep telling me that that's a good time to do it, so you know.
And Harrod's the travel expert. She said it's the best time.
Yeah, so it's only if it weren't for COVID, I think I'd still say let's wait till baby's here and we know everything's okay, but then I'd be well up for it. Given the situation at the moment, I think let's just wait till, you know, end of the year and see what's going on.
Okay, but probably yes.
Maybe. Just maybe. I'm not saying anything on record. It'll come back to bite me in the arse.
I just think it was lovely to listen to you two having a good old chinwag, and I loved that you'd argued beforehand.
Also, those cheese balls things that they were like, they're basically like own brand Watsits, which we hadn't even ordered on our super online supermarket shop. And they came, we think somebody else must have ordered them. And they came in our order and they flipping stank. And we'd had this Barney before. And I was just, you know, when you're like, now I've got to do the podcast.
Let it drop. Like, we've just got to the end of this lovely emotional thing and you're still talking about the cheese balls.
So no. Smelly, though.
It was so lovely. He's so lovely. He's such a good egg. He's such
he
a good
is
egg.
A good egg, isn't he?
He really is. And you're just, you are, you're both going to be so lovely. You're going to be the best parents and it's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
It's so weird because even though you'd think, and I know I've mentioned this a couple of times through the podcast, I'm now so close to giving birth to a baby and becoming a parent, and yet I don't feel like that at all.
Yeah,
it still feels like such an alien concept.
I don't think I really did either, because it is all alien, isn't it? It's all completely new. You've never been at this stage before.
Yeah.
So, but oh, trust me, it's about to get real in a very exciting and lovely way.
Do you know what? It was really weird earlier. So when I'm preparing all the kind of bits for us to like chat about, when I was writing it earlier, I was like, oh my God, this is the last podcast episode before the baby gets here. Like the next podcast series, I am going to have a baby.
Yeah, the next podcast episode could feature the baby.
That's like
there might be some little cute little baby noises, little cries.
That is absolutely mental.
Thanks for asking me to co-host, by the way. Cheers for that. Loving it.
Who flipping else would I ask, Mel?
It's true.
But obviously the reason that the series is coming to an end now is because baby is imminent. So if you want to follow the last bits of the journey, all the latest updates will be on our social media pages at To Baby or Not. And please keep telling us about your own experiences. Like personally, getting the lovely messages and the comments that you leave for us, I feel like there is so much positivity and so much love and so many good vibes coming at me at a point in my life, which genuinely is one of the most terrifying things I think I've ever experienced, is incredible. So honestly, thank you from the bottom of my heart for your lovely messages and comments. Please don't leave me now. I need you.
You won't be left. Everyone will be messaging you all the time. Everyone will be super excited to see that first picture.
Oh, crikey. Oh,
it's going to be amazing. And I think everyone's as excited as I am.
Okay, fingers crossed.
Yay.
Thank you so, so, so much for listening to our podcast. If you have enjoyed it so far, please tell a friend, write us a lovely review so that we can help reach even more lovely people. If you've given us 5 stars, love you for it. But actually writing nice words is then what helps us to stay on people's radars. It's something to do with algorithms. I don't really understand technology, but that will help the podcast get into other people's lives so that they can enjoy all of the brilliant stories that my lovely guests have shared, and I feel very lucky that they have. But I feel like the last thing I need to say is wish me luck, pray for me, send help.